Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now, here's your host, Alf.
And we're on, and welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, the only show that you can participate on if you are a member of our Discord. You can't participate on this show any other way, unless you are a member of our Discord. If you want to become a member of our Discord, you can come to discord.gg/OnlyFins. And you can become a member there for $3 a month. That's, again, discord.gg/OnlyFins. This show is also brought to you by Factor Meals. You can go to factormeals.com/3yardsper carry 50. That's the number 3 yards per carry 50. And use the same promo code, the number 3 yards per carry 50. And you get 50% off your first order. I am also a customer there, by the way. I just finished having, I had a beef macaroni with zucchini is what I had. It was pretty damn good. And of course, dietsmoke.com, use the promo code Waddle, as in Jalen Waddle. So you use the promo code Waddle and you get 50% off any one item. That's where you go shop for your THC products and edibles and shroom products. All right. So I was thinking, what am I going to talk about today on OnlyFans? So I was, today, this morning I woke up and I did my my show prep, which is essentially just pouring myself a cup of coffee and sitting here at my desk and wondering, what the hell am I going to talk about today on OnlyFans Q&A Live? And I was thinking, you know what? Let's talk about potential staff changes. But the Dolphins never do disappoint, do they? Right? They always have one up their sleeves. So I like to thank the Miami Dolphins for providing content pretty much damn near all year long. And of course, today they have mutually agreed to part ways with defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. Since then, we've learned that several players, including Javon Holland and his father, Robert Holland, weren't big fans of old Vic. We knew Jalen Ramsey was kind of lukewarm to him. All you could do is just look at the interviews that Jalen Ramsey has done in the last 2 or 3 months. Well, every time he's asked about Vic Fangio, he's kind of lukewarm on it and really didn't elaborate too much on the questions he was asked. And he just said, when they asked him about traveling with the other team's best wide receiver after he did it successfully one time against Garrett Wilson, he essentially just says, the coaches say what they want us, what they want us to do, and we have to do what they say. You never really got the sense that this was a group of players that was completely bought into Vic Fangio and his ways. We do know what happened with Cam Smith. Okay, I know what I'm looking at, and everybody else knows what they're looking at. He had a promising training camp, okay? And he played well in the preseason games. And what happened? Got buried in the depth chart. Look, a defensive coordinator cannot be insubordinate to their head coach, to his head coach, and his general manager. We already had one instance before, where another head coach was refusing to play Jalen Phillips a lot of snaps. He wanted to use him more as a specialist. We later learned that head coach, Brian Flores, was not exactly a big fan of Jalen Phillips or the draft pick in general. We know that same head coach was insisting on playing Jason McCourty ahead of Javon Holland, when all the evidence to the contrary said that Javon Holland should have been the starter from day one. He eventually took over as a starter when Jason McCourty got hurt and out for the year. Never forget that Javon Holland's snap counts went up as a starter as soon as Jason McCourty got injured. You cannot have that. You cannot have a defensive coordinator that is just going to, be insubordinate to his head coach or his general manager. If your general manager asks you to play a younger player, you play him, period. Okay, he's the one putting the team together. His head is on the line with every single one of his draft picks or his free agency signings. Okay, Emmanuel Ogba, for everything what we might say about Emmanuel Ogba, he was extremely productive this season in the limited snaps he got. He was buried in the depth chart all year long, and lo and behold, he was extremely productive in those few snaps. He just couldn't take to the system. I say horse shit. Vic Fangio's bread and butter, at least it became his bread and butter on this team, was a 50 front. If Emmanuel Ogba can't play in a 50 front, then I don't know where the hell he can play in. Because 50 fronts are the easiest things to play as an edge player. Emmanuel Ogba could have played much more than he did. Would have saved some of the tread on the tires of our edge players. I always felt that, you know. And look, if you're the defense corner, you got to control that shit. It has to be up to you to tell your personnel guy, for the most part it was Ronaldo Hill this year, look, we're playing these guys way too many snaps. We got to incorporate a third defensive tackle here. We got to incorporate a third edge rusher here. Let's use a specialist on third downs sometimes. Let's keep these snap counts down a little bit. Instead, no. The exact opposite occurred on this defense. I said earlier on OnlyFans this week, I ran a poll. Most of you wanted to see a second year of Vic Fangio and how it would turn out. I said, man, I can make a very, very strong case to fire him for cause. And I, not that I feel vindicated about it, but I feel fine about him not being the defensive coordinator anymore. I will say this, Chris Kaufman, you know how everybody's, oh, I had it first. Chris Kaufman had it first, okay? As long as 10 days ago he was telling our vetted members on OnlyFans that don't be surprised if he's not brought back. And that the word around the building was he would not be brought back. He was right. So anyway, we're going to get to some of you. You're going to have questions about who's going to be the new defensive coordinator. I have my own thoughts on that. If we're just talking about best candidate available, I've been advocating for this guy since like 2018. And that's James Becker, I think is how you pronounce it. He is currently the linebackers coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. He believes in playing big nickel. He's really, really creative as far as how he uses nano blitzes and nickel blitzes and how he uses big nickel, playing three safeties at the same time. He plays a lot of dime. I basically agree with his philosophies on as far as coverages. So I would like him to get a lot of consideration. But in my opinion, I think that they're going to look within. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want too many changes. I would say that somebody like Chris Richard would be a candidate. Sean Desai, obviously a candidate. They all essentially run pretty much the same kind of system. But if I had to, you know, say one guy is the leader in the clubhouse, I think Anthony Campanelli has, you know, he's worked up to this. It's his next natural. How should I say this? It's the progression of his career. It's where he should be going next. He should be a defensive coordinator. I think he makes a lot of sense. He really does. He makes a lot of sense to be hired from within. It's not, you know, you're not going to cause a lot of changes. You're not going to tear apart the entire roster. You're not going to be firing staff and hiring new staff if you bring them in. If you bring in other coaches, yes. You know, some other coaches, like some people have said, oh, how about Wake Martindale? Well, you would be changing the entire system completely, okay, to begin with. Second of all, you'd be firing like half the coaches. So I would say that's a no. That's a strong no. Chris Richard, by the way, he comes from Legion of Boom. They played a lot of cover three. In my opinion, I've always thought this, especially when we had Xavier Howard here healthy. I don't know if he's going to be on here next year. But I will say this. This team is really, really suited to play a lot of cover three. Nobody teaches cover three better than Chris Richard. Remember, that was his thing with the Legion of Boom. So they're going to – look, it's the Miami Dolphins. They got deep pockets. It's a good place to come coach. Mike McDaniel is a very, very accommodating coach. if they do go out of house, you know, and they're going to sign somebody off the street, they're going to go the full candidate search, I can honestly tell you, they'll get who they want. But I think this is one of those situations where they're going to go and hire from within. And that would make Anthony Campanelli, in my opinion, the leader in the clubhouse. All right, we're going to go to some of you that have been waiting patiently in the queue. And as I bring you up, just identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are. All right, you are up.
Note one, I have a question about the offense as we painfully watch these playoffs and see all of these teams where the tight ends are making plays in the passing game. And given our, you know, cap situation and free agents and big decisions, how do you envision us addressing the tight ends so that the tight ends become more of a viable part of the passing game?
Look, we know that they were in, let's just say that they were in on a possible trade for Darren Waller. So they were looking at this situation long before this past year where we saw the production that the tight ends gave us, which was essentially none, nothing. They're decent blockers. Yeah. Julian Hill, Durham Smythe is a good blocker. I think they're going to address it this offseason for sure. And I think they'll use a draft pick on it. So here's the thing about the tight end crop this year. It's extremely top-heavy with the best prospect we've had coming out since, I want to say T.J. Hockenson, because T.J. Hockenson had a lot of hype, okay? Kyle Pitts, I consider Kyle Pitts like a hybrid. I really didn't consider him too much of a tight end. He was like during that run-up to the draft, I kept calling him a pass catcher because he was like a hybrid wide receiver tight end. I would say T.J. Hockenson was the last tight end that had as much hype as Brock Bowers has this year. But I think there's a gulf between Brock Bowers and everybody else. So you're talking about using a day two pick somewhere in day two to go get your tight end where that you're going to incorporate into the group. But I think they address that and they must address it. I do not think that they'll address it in free agency. Unless maybe, you know, you never know. Look, Dalton Schultz is going to be available. Does he come cheap? I don't know. I think the Texans are going to want to keep him. And if they're going to compete for him, that's somebody that the Dolphins will not get in the market for. They're in no position to win any bidding wars, at least for the foreseeable future. They're going to have guys come in for concessions. Guys are going to have to say, look, you know, I'll play for this. And I'll come in and I'll play for this. Other than that, big expenditures, no. A first-round pick, unless Brock Bowers somehow drops to them at 21, other than that, no, I think you're looking at a day two pick, and I think they will address the position for sure this offseason. But with a young guy.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All right. As I bring you up, nobody wants to ask about Vic Fangio, about the DCs. I think this guy will. All right. You got to unmute yourself and then identify yourself for the audience. This is going to be two for two, Scuba. Last week you came up here and you had all kinds of issues with your mic and you couldn't get on. Are you repeating that once again?
No, not this time. We're all good to go, Alf.
All right,
Scuba Pegs here. Happy Farewell Fangio Day to all those who celebrate. I've got a couple questions. One is, you know, Mike McDaniel, I think fair to say at this point, the guy's a player's coach. We know that he's going to at least listen to his players. But how much weight do you think they would carry in this conversation in terms of picking the new defensive coordinator? And do you think this will be a solely a Mike McDaniel hire, or do you think this will be more of a tandem?
Here's what I see here, okay? If they bring back Christian Wilkins, it's going to come back with about $65 million in guaranteed money. They already have damn near, what, 20 in Jalen Ramsey. They're trying to lock up another $30 million in guarantees to Javon Holland very soon here. I think he gets a contract, by the way. He has so many fans in that building. They're going to pay him. So you're not going to get those guys' input on this, you're going to want to get your money's worth, okay? And one thing that a GM hates two things. He hates when his draft picks don't get played, okay? Or when a coordinator makes an excuse to not play one of his draft picks. And he hates having his money not performing, okay? Or on IR, which they did a lot of that. You're going to pay Jalen Phillips here soon as well. Bradley Chubb is highly paid. If you don't think, and I've seen some fans say, they need a disciplinarian. They already had that. If you don't think these guys are going to get consulted on the next DC, then you have no clue. These guys will be consulted on the next DC. And I know what people are saying. Oh, my God, they're running the inmates are running
the inmates can't run the prison
they can't run the asylum or whatever. The inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's pro sports. That's usually how it works. You know, it just is what it is.
And I think people kind of underestimate how much players know. Like, players aren't stupid. They're not just out there playing football. Like, they know football. They know the game. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they know, you know, if there's a coverage that they're comfortable playing in and it's going to be successful on somebody and they've had some success on it, you could tell, like, hey, you know, let's keep playing this. I'll never forget. Look, and it's hard to tell just by looking at video, okay? But I thought it said, you know, volumes last year when we're in the snow in Buffalo, when they played Javon Holland as a spy and he kept having success on Josh Allen as he tried to scramble. And then they took him off and he was on the sideline, like throwing some type of tantrum. I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts that he was telling the coaches, what did you take me off of my, he was essentially playing linebacker in that game. What did you take me out of my role? Against Josh Allen.
He's asking what a lot of us were asking at the time. And, you know, Vic Fangio, I'm not going to trash the man on the way out or anything, but like kind of like going back to something you said, like I would, if it was up to me, like I wouldn't have fired him necessarily. I don't think he did that bad of a job here, but like I'm not going to miss him a ton either. There were plenty of times this season where I'm watching games and I'm just befuddled by the decisions that he was making on defense, especially in terms of like coverage.
Oh, that so, Bills game, that first Bills game. Oh my God.
Man.
That was
if I don't ever see Justin Bethel on Stephon Diggs ever again, I will be a very happy man.
Yeah. Somebody thought that was a good idea. Evidently it was Vic and it wasn't.
Yeah. And while we're on that topic, get Eli Apple out of here. There's no need for him to be here anymore. I don't want to see him play football again. I am Eli Apple.
He is currently at the airport. I can report
that. Thank God. Thank you. Okay.
All right, Scuba. You got anything else?
Yeah. Well, one more quick one. Cause you mentioned, Anthony Campanelli. And listen, we've talked before about, you know, he was growing up. LT was his favorite player. Clearly, he grew up a New York Giants fan. And I believe I read somewhere that the Giants were reaching out to interview him. Mm-hmm. How concerned would you be that if Miami decided you're our guy, he might say, thank you for the offer, I appreciate it, but home is calling?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know what? Yeah, I thought about that too, and maybe it would happen, but you don't know who's behind the scenes, you know. I don't know if he's married or not, but maybe his wife was like, you know, fuck New York. The fuck are we going to New York? You know? And think about it. Let's say it comes with a $1.5 million salary to be, and that's kind of generous for a first-time DC, by the way. But let's say it came with that, and he goes to New York. his accountant's going to tell him, look, if you take that salary in Miami, you get to keep about 65% of all that money. In New York, you're keeping about 40% of it. So what's better, 65% or 40%, but you're at home? You know?
Man, I love our tax system.
Yes. Yes. Money talks, bullshit walks a marathon, all right? So it's as simple as that, okay? So there's a lot of considerations. Now, do they offset it? Maybe. You know, so we shall see. And remember, these guys get paid differently than players. Remember, players only get paid for the play, for the games that they play in Florida. And then when they go to Texas, it's that tax system. And then they go to California, it's that tax system. And it's 17 checks, right?
Right.
It's actually 11 checks because they get paid every 2 weeks and they get two checks during training camp. So it's 11. DCs, coaches, staff, they get paid year round. So that's different. Okay. They do not get game checks. Players get game checks. So yeah.
No, that's a good point. So that's a good point.
So for OTAs, camp, all that shit, you know, taxes matter. So if it comes down to money, I think he'll take this job, you know. But we shall see. We shall see.
All right, Alf. That's all I got, man. Thank you for having me on.
All right, man. All right. As I bring you up, and then I'm going to answer some questions in the chat, but I'm going to bring up one last guy. Identify yourself so that way the audience knows who you are, and then I'm just going to dive into the questions in the chat, and we'll call it a show.
V Sniper.
Hey.
Back again. You were talking about Fangio's salary. You said it was a 3.5 and then 4 million bonus. Was that an extra 4 million in bonus or just
up to 4 million? Up to 4 million
altogether.
Yeah.
Does that make him the highest paid coordinator in football?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was essentially paid like a head coach. He was paid essentially the same amount of money that he was offered when he was the head coach in Denver.
Well, what taxes, he was probably making more then, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the Colorado tax system is. But
Colorado, I think, is pretty friendly. So pretty much the same money.
You were talking about this James Betcher guy.
Uh-huh.
Betcher. If he came on, then that wouldn't you think that's kind of like a slap for Campanelli since they're basically the same position?
Yes. If they brought in, you can almost guarantee that. If they brought in James Becker, I don't know if it's Becker. I think it's Betcher.
B-E-T-T-C-H-E-R.
So it's Betcher.
Betcher. I don't know.
Yeah, they bring in James Becker. I can almost guarantee that. Anthony Campanelli will be elsewhere. Like, that's a fact. And by the way, they would teach the linebacking position a little bit differently as well. So, yeah, I think Anthony Campanelli will be gone if they brought him in. Now, people are saying, wait a minute, isn't this just Alf talking about his preferred DC candidate since I've mentioned him since, like, 2018? I wanted to hire him in 2018. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a long in fact, you could go back to some of our 3 yards per carry episodes from, like, 2018 when we're hiring DCs, and you could go back to what I was saying about the position. I've been wanting to hire this guy forever, ever since I saw his defenses in Arizona play. Okay? Here's the problem with that. And, you know, some would say, oh, you know, that's just Alf with his preferred candidate. There is a tie-in to the 49ers here. Okay? So there is a lineage that could see him getting hired. The problem I see with it is if he does come in, there's going to be some vast changes to the staff. And I don't think they want to do that. I think they want to have a little bit more continuity. So they'll keep most of the staff. That's why I think Anthony Campanelli is probably the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Interesting not hearing about Amarillo and having head coaching interviews. I haven't seen his name at all. He was hot last year.
Yeah, now I'll say this. If Lou Anarumo gets a job somewhere as a head coach, forget about Betcher. He's going to be the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. If you hear all the Bengals beat guys talk about it, they consider him the heir apparent. If Lou Anarumo is, you know, retires or he takes a head coaching job somewhere, they expect him to become the DC. So, you know, to lure Betcher is going to take a little bit more than just offering the job. Because I think he's probably weighing that, you know what, I'm probably the DC here, I'm the heir apparent, and I'm under Lou Anarumo, so I'm in a pretty good spot to be in as of right now. You know, Cincinnati's very averse to firing coaches. Remember, they had Marvin Lewis for 1,000 years. So it stands to reason they're going to keep their guy right now. What's his name? The former Dolphins QB coach.
Zach Taylor.
Yeah, Zach Taylor. So it stands to reason they're going to keep Zach Taylor around for a while. So that's an attractive job, man. If you're Betcher.
Quarterback's coach under Feldman.
yes. So that's a really attractive job for a DC, man. You get to be under Zach Taylor for a long, long time. You got some talent on that defense, you know, they have a good quarterback. You could be around for a really long time as a DC and build your own resume up to get your own head coaching job. So he's in a good spot. The only way I think you lure him is by offering him the DC job and some money. So it'll take some doing. But this is just me talking about my preferred candidate, not that, that it's going to happen. In fact, I would say, like I said, I think it's unlikely to happen because – I don't think they want to upset the apple cart too much. You know, they want to keep as much continuity as possible. And Betcher would bring in his own guys. Mostly linebacker and edge guys, you know, as far as staff.
You think Leslie Frazier gets a look or no?
He makes so much sense, you know. Although his style of defense is different, man. Like, you know, it's unlike anything we've had here. It's even different, more different than the Fangio had. So, you know, I'm not so sure. But he is adaptable. He's a hell of a coach. That's a fact. He is a hell of a coach.
I don't know. It seemed like he packed it in last year after he wasn't getting head coaching interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be afraid of any of these, you know, older guys, you know. Man, you know, we already tried it with Vic Fangio, the Odd Couple thing. Let's go get a guy who fits personality-wise with Mike McDaniel, you know? And so they could work a little bit more hand in glove. I want to be honest about this. I didn't like when we learned in training camp, we learned that McDaniel was coming in at about 4 a.m, right? He was getting in there really, really early. And then Vic Fangio was getting in like around 2 or 1. And that a lot of their time together was not overlapping. Like one guy was leaving the building as the other guy was in. I did not like hearing about that, man. I want my...
That's weird.
Right, it's very weird. And they admitted it to it. They admitted to it in training camp. You know, I don't like that, man. I like my head coach in the DC to be working hand in hand. They should be together in that building 24/7. You know?
Yeah, along with the GM as well, I would think he'd be, especially around training camp time when you're, you know, evaluating the roster and the talent and who had a good day, who didn't have a good day, who, you know, any waiver wire pickups we're looking at, you know, like.
Yeah, and you could tell that Mike McDaniel was like a really obsessive guy, you know, when they lost that game against Tennessee, you could tell he didn't go home. Like if you're watching Hard Knocks.
Yeah, he didn't go home.
Yeah. It's obvious he didn't go home. So it was one of those things where he just crossed the – and by the way, for those that don't know, that haven't been down here, you could walk out of Hard Rock Stadium and walk right into the facility. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm certain that the coaches, you know, they just get in their car and drive the block. Like, why the hell would you walk the block? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so it's right there. It's obvious to me that Mike McDaniel didn't go home after that Tennessee game, right? So, yep. So you know, they're very – different personality-wise, you know, there's something to be said to having two guys that are of similar age as well. That's one thing about Betcher. Betcher's 45 years old, so he would fit in perfectly with McDaniel. I believe McDaniel is how old? 42? 43? Something like that?
I don't remember his age.
Yeah, so he would be pretty close in age. Let me get him up here.
Googling it right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Mike McDaniel is 40.
Yeah, 40. Yep.
Man, they got it. They got to change that picture on Wikipedia. He looks like he's 12 in that picture. in Wikipedia, man. So yeah, he's 40. So yeah, 40, 45. That's you know, that's better than 40 and what? How old is Fangio? 96?
So, I thought he was like 53 or something like that, 54.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But he's old soul.
Yeah.
Like, how old is Fangio? That's a great question. Vic Fangio. We're doing this thing where we're just looking up
65. Ages. 65.
65 years old. Yeah, 65 and 40. Yep. Those are different ages, man. You know?
I wonder if, like, with McDaniel, the obsessiveness about, you know, the Tennessee loss and, like, not sleeping, if that becomes, like, a detriment to him a little bit.
Well, he's 40. He can handle it right now. You know?
Yeah, but, you know, you just hope he doesn't burn out, I guess.
Yeah, no, of course. All right, man, you got anything else before I dive into all of these questions in the chat?
Does X have any trade value whatsoever, do you think?
Yes. Now, don't get too excited. It's not like we're breaking the bank here. It's not like we're
going to go get... 7th round pick?
That's it. I think if you could get a 4th, you're dancing in the streets.
Hell yeah, a 4th.
You know, more likely like a 5th. It's that contract, man. But somebody's going to look at him and say, you know what? He could play for us. He could help us. You know?
Cool.
You know, think about it this way. The Cowboys paid a 5th for Gilmore. Gilmore's a free agent. Will they just roll over another 5th-round pick for Xavier Howard? Yeah, why not? And he fits that system perfectly, man. Perfectly.
Hmm.
Him and De'Ron Bland? Yeah. Perfect.
They might lose the DC, though. He might be going to Seattle, I would think, right?
Yeah, Dan Quinn, possibly.
Dan Quinn.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to dig into... All
right, man. Thank you.
I'm going to dig into all of these questions in the chat, and that we'll call it a show. Somebody asked, so what's happening? Anything new? Nope, nothing new. Do you think our defensive backs will play more fluidly under year 2 of Fangio? They'll be awesome. They won't allow a touchdown next season. Now that we're starting to hear the most rationalizations that it was a bad personality fit, players getting along with Fangio, question the scheme, etc., how much do you ding Greer, McDaniel for going with him to begin with? Not like it was a mystery who you were hiring. They evidently did not dig into it deep enough or talk about it amongst themselves. And sometimes, you know, they're thinking about, yeah, you know, our head coach, Mike McDaniel, doesn't have an ego, but our players do. And they did not foresee it being a terrible fit with the players. What scheme actually fits the players we have best? What DC can maximize what we have, especially since we will not have the cash space for significant outside improvements. If you have two very good edge players, you want to play 50 fronts, okay? 50 fronts entail essentially those two guys as outside linebackers. You play two defensive tackles, and you have a nose tackle, okay? And you always shade and play a three tech to the field side. So what DCs fit that? Damn near all of them in the Fangio mold. Wink Martindale does not fit that at all, period. So forget all those Wink Martindale fantasies, okay? It's a terrible fit for the personnel. So you want guys that are in that Fangio mold, Desai, Campanelli, Brandon Staley, Chris Richard. Chris Richard, remember, like I said, he's a cover three guy. He was with the Legion of Boom. Yes, he's a fit as well. So... All right, next question. What does this mean for Cam Smith opposite Ramsey next year? Cam Smith will be starting opposite of Jalen Ramsey next year. I'll take your bets. I got it at minus 1,100 right now. He is an overwhelming favorite to be the starter opposite of Jalen Ramsey. Next question. Alf, seems like there was a lot of issue with Fangio and personnel. The obvious candidate is Campanelli. And I know I've asked this before, but if the scheme stays the same, we cannot allow teams to dink and dunk down the field on our defense and give up multiple crossing routes. Yeah, I agree with all of that. Campanelli, you ask, what will Campanelli do that will be different? It's new blood. It's a younger guy that's more adept to making changes and adapting his scheme. So it won't be a guy that would just sit there all game like he did against the Chargers and say, I'm going to play these light boxes and I don't give a crap if you run the ball for 5,000 yards on me, but I'm going to sit in this. It'll be a guy that, yes, he's averse to blitzing, but he might draw up a game plan against the Ravens that's going to call for blitzes on 70% of the snaps. You know what I mean? All right, next question. With Campanelli's scheme diverse experience, do you believe he can call a good game against the likes of Buffalo or Baltimore? I don't know. You have to actually see it happen, right? So I have no idea. Anyone got any fixes for the audio? Everybody else is listening to me. As I can see, I have no complaints right now. Do you think the signing that turned into a regrettable one-night stand with JPP had anything to do with Fangio? Do you think it has any effect on Wilkins' negotiations? I think it changes some things for Wilkins. You know, does it mean that he'll be back here sooner rather than later? I do know he's more of a Greer guy than he was a Fangio guy. That's a fact. Fangio was trying to cut his snaps earlier in the year. So we shall see. With Wilkins, that's a mystery. We'll learn more as we get closer to March. With Campanelli being brought in under Flores and being under that blitz-heavy defense for 2 years, do you think his scheme will be more like Boyer's or more like Fangio's? Also, please tell me on the appeal of the Sean Desai and Leslie Frazier consider that they were unofficially fired at their last jobs. I can't really sell either guy because I'm not selling either guy. As far as Campanelli's, just because he was brought under Boyer doesn't mean that that's his system. He coaches linebackers. Most linebacker coaches are more in the Fangio mold of the Phil Scrape type. You got to understand that Boyer's system and what Flores installed here didn't really buy too much into too much linebacker play. It simplified linebacker play. Linebacking coaches like to teach coverages. So, you know, a Fangio-style defense is more, asks more of their inside linebackers, so, and of the linebackers in general. So Campanelli would, I think, would be some type of hybrid of the two coaches, which is a good thing. Let me see. Yeah, somebody's just making a comment on the scores. The job security of the staff and talent knowledge of the players would be a huge downgrade going to the New York Giants. Yeah, people are making statements as far as if he went out somewhere else. I'm getting a wide receiver free agency question. I like Curtis Samuel, but you know that's for another show. Do you think it's likely that we cut X and he resigns for $10-12 million? Doubt it. Hard to see him getting more than that from anyone. Remember, any of his salaries should be offset. So whatever he's owed, that comes out of somebody else's pocket. Or it comes out of our pocket, and then anybody else is paying the difference. So there's really no such thing as just getting cut and taking a pay cut, you know? If X is cut, he's elsewhere next year. I think that's my opinion on it. All right, we're going to call it a day right here. We're going to call it a show. We are with you every single Wednesday on our Discord OnlyFans. If you want to become a member of our Discord, you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans. And you could join for $3 a month. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.